to be a good fundamental independent Baptist preacher, you have to close three times. So Brother Workman, Brother Ruckman's working on it. I appreciate the preaching, amen. You don't hear much preaching like that, but I appreciate it. I really do. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here. Brother Olof used to sing a little song like this. One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. Amen. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the heart with glory. Yes, all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. I'm glad he came to stay. He didn't come to visit, he just came to stay. Amen. Amen. Well, I was thinking, there's two little thoughts I want to give you before I preach. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 5, Paul said, this they did, not as we hoped for, but first gave themselves to the Lord.
That's right.
That's the key to missions at home and abroad, is to first give yourself to the Lord. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And God saved us with purpose. He has a plan for our church. Amen. He said, I'm going to build my church and gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He has his prayer for the church is that the church might be one, united. And his program for the church is to present the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Amen. So if I'm going to do that, I must be inspired by the person of Christ. When I think of who he is, he is God and there's none else. When I think of his great love wherewith he loved us, I'm inspired. And I sing along with the songwriter. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned and unclean. Inspired by the person of Christ. If I'm going to be effective in my witness for the Lord, I must be indwelt with the power of Christ. I think that's a missing note. You knock doors all day long, but unless God the Holy Ghost is knocking with you, you're just making noise.
That's all. You're right.
So I first give myself to the Lord. I'm inspired by the person when I think of who he is and what he done for me, why he left me here. I'm indwelt with the passion, indwelt with the power of Christ, and indwelt with a passion for souls. We used to sing this little chorus, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. Lord, give to me thy love for souls, for lost and wandering sheep. And may I see the multitudes and weep as thou didst weep. Inspired by a person and dwelt with the power of God, passion of God, involved in the mission of getting the gospel and investing my life for what will count for Christ.
Amen. Right.
1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 10 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And here's the way this scripture reads. Paul is speaking to the believers at Corinth, and he said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." I want you to center your attention on the most familiar verse, I guess, in the chapter, verse number 2, where Paul said, "I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's the message. That's the message. I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let us pray. Father, bless, I pray, your word to our heart. We thank you for the message by our brother and the burden and passion of his soul. I do pray that you would bless the works that's been started, and other men are pastoring some of them tonight. I do pray that you might continue to breathe upon them, and Lord, give them increase, give them wisdom as they follow you. And I pray as he plans now to go back to Ghana that you might work out all the details, keep them in good health, bless them physically and spiritually. I pray that you continue to use him to challenge the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. And dear Lord, thank you for his example. Thank you for his witness. And I pray that you might use him mightily. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I want to say to Unity Baptist Church, I thank you for your faithfulness. I think of you often. I've been coming to this church for many years, and I appreciate the faithfulness of those who are just standing by the stuff. Brother Ernest has been a great example of faithfulness, being right here leading this singing, and every other member of the church, Miss Willis Steen at the piano. And God has blessed your church, and I'm grateful for your friendship and for the fellowship we enjoy because of the Lord Jesus. I preached in a church that had 3 for Sunday school and had a 50% increase for church. But I preached as though the building was filled. I'm not responsible to give the increase. It's my responsibility to give the message. And so that's our task tonight. Now, I was speaking to the Apostle Paul, and it's dealing with the heart of the ministry. The heart of the ministry. Now, if there was a man called to preach, the Apostle Paul was. Yes. He is a man called to preach the gospel, the grace of God. And he was a man who was saved by the grace of God, never got over it. He said, I'd like to tell you about the time when I was on the Damascus Road. It was about noontime, and I got born again, got saved by the grace of God. And it wasn't very much further down the road that he said, hey, by the way, did I tell you, when I was on the Damascus Road, it was about noontime, and the light shone from heaven, and I said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? God changed my life. But it wasn't too many passes down the road. He said, I'd like to tell you about the time I got saved. He never got over the time when Jesus reached down and lifted him up, and he's a chosen vessel of God. And Ananias was told of the Lord to tell him that he's a chosen vessel to the Gentiles, to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Someone said, you know, when he got converted, there was those who bound together under an oath to kill him. And he was taken and placed in a basket and dropped down over the wall. And somebody said, well, why? What if the rope had broke? I said, it didn't. And here's the reason it didn't. The gospel to the Gentiles was in the basket.
Amen.
And God's interested in getting the gospel to every creature, regardless of race, color, creed. Amen. He's interested in getting the gospel to every creature. So not only am I going to give an account to God for what I do, I'm going to give an account to God for what I could do. And it was Brother Stan Ballou who said, I want to do what I can while I can, so that when I cannot, I'll not wish you would have when I could have. And so you will. At the standard judgment seat of Christ, you'll wish you would have when you could have. But we need to get busy about doing the Father's will. The Apostle Paul was God's man. He was saved by the grace of God on the Damascus Road, and God changed his life. Acts 22:14, Ananias is speaking to Saul, and he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will, see the just one, hear his voice, and be his witness. And by the way, it always comes in that order. See his face, hear his voice, and be his witness. And the reason we're not being the witness we ought to be for God, as we're not seeing his face and we're not hearing his voice. Amen. You're welcome. So you keep your head up. I'll tell you when we're going to pray. I'm telling you tonight that this is a mainspring of the ministry, is to get the gospel to every creature. He was a man who was not, he was put forth or sent forth by the grace of God. He was a man who retained a Christian service by the grace of God. And he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. It was the grace of God that enabled him to do what he did. And if you're going to be an effective servant of the Lord, it will be by the grace of God. And you understand this, if I'm disobedient, I cannot be an effective servant. I might mouth the words, I might go through the motions, but if I'm not obedient in my heart to God, then my service is in vain. And we've got a lot of folks that's making a lot of noise, that's not getting much accomplished because they're disobedient. Amen. You're welcome. Now, I want you to notice with me verse 1 through 5 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he speaks of a mission that needs to be fulfilled. The mission was Paul's ambition was to see men saved. He wanted to see them saved. I hear him say, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He's interested in getting other. He was a gospel man. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Back in Romans chapter 1, notice what the Bible said in verse number 1 of Romans 1. He said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. That was his message, his goal. He's separated under the gospel. He was a servant of the gospel. He believed the gospel would save men. And by the way, there's a lot of folk, and I heard this early on when I was a young Christian. I'd hear folks say, well, we have this music and we play this music in order to get the attention, in order to win them to God. You don't have to change the music. Amen. You don't have to change the message. Amen. You give the same message and stay by the same. You don't back down in a ditch to get somebody out of the ditch. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm not for this compromising so-called gospel presentation today. Y'all all right? I still believe in the old-time way. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not interested in a new way. Amen. And again, I'm saying, he said, my goal is to get the gospel to every creature. That was his ambition, the burden of his heart. He said, moreover, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried, and the third day he arose. And so that's all that's included, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same gospel that saved Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. And if you're saved by the same gospel. And we present the same gospel today. The burden of Paul's heart was to get men saved. And so he said, as our brother said last night, he was willing to become all things to all men that he might save some, that he might reach some with the gospel of Christ. So Paul's aim, his ambition was to see folks saved. And his aim was to see men strong in the Lord. And notice with me, please, in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible said in verse number 5, he said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I believe we missed it a lot, and particularly back in the 60s and 70s, that we was having folk make a lot of professions of faith. There was folk that supposedly got saved before the traffic light could turn colors. And I want to say to you, I don't believe anybody gets saved without hearing the gospel. And I don't believe you get saved without repenting of your sin. And I don't believe you get saved unless the Spirit of God does a drawing, the wooing. And could I say, there's a lot of professions of faith that's been made that's gone folks to end up in hell because they was led into prayer or they was coerced to say that. Could I say to you, I don't want to cause a doubt or a shadow over anybody's relationship with Christ. You can't get saved but one time. And when you get saved, you get changed by the grace of God. And if you repented then, a good evidence that you repented then is that you're still repenting today. And so he's a man strong in his faith. His aim was for those who profess faith to become strong in the Lord. And by the way, we have an obligation not only to win them to Christ, but they're to be baptized and they're to be taught, discipled, instructed in the way. And so we've got a lot of spiritual babies today, if they are babies. And so Paul had this same thing in mind. If you'll notice in the book of Colossians, in the book of Colossians chapter number 1, notice with me what he's saying in verse number 28 and verse number 29. He said, whom we preach, in verse number 27, he said, to whom God would make known that what the riches of his of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that he may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to the working which worketh in me mightily. He said it's important that they grow and grow. The goal of any servant, of any true servant of the Lord, is that people's faith stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so we come back. Paul said, he said the same thing in the Colossians, which is writing to the believers at Colossae. Paul wanted them to grow spiritually. Amen. And the reason so many other people have been caught up in this contemporary movement was that never was established in the Word of God. They never was taught the Scriptures. And that's important. And I hear folks criticizing about the matter of teaching, but teaching has its role in the ministry. We're to preach the Word. I believe that's premium, preaching the Word of God. But teaching is important too. We're to teach them the Word of God. Paul was associated maturity with sound faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I tell young preachers again and again, don't be afraid to preach the cardinal doctrines of God over and over and over again. Why? People don't get it the first time. They won't get it the second time. And by the way, I think you ought to emphasize the Baptist distinctive also. I got saved before I became a Baptist, but I'm a Baptist. Not, hey, can I say to you, I don't think you have to be a Baptist to be saved, but nothing wrong with going first class. I'm saying only sound, solid, scriptural faith can face and overcome the temptations that come to us today. And so Paul went to the city to confront it with the fact that they did not get by with sinning. We've got preachers today in pulpits that are not fit. Not by my standard, but by this standard. And then we've got other preachers that are covering for them because of their friendship. Amen. And we've got the woods full of them tonight. And so when I stand and say, thus saith God, then I become their enemy because I've told them the truth. You won't stand before me as a judge. You'll stand before God Almighty, but He's a righteous judge. And He's not going to ask your opinion about what the judgment's going to be. And so now the Apostle Paul is interested in not only seeing folks saved, but to see them grow in the grace of God. And so we live in a world that is torn by sin on every hand. And it's like Vance Havner said, he said there are some preachers that preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and almost say something. But you understand, this Bible is very clear that the law of the harvest is what you sow, you're going to reap. And so he said we're to have a greater intimacy with Christ. Philippians 3:10, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And so he wanted to have a stronger invasion of the power of Christ in his life, a deeper insight into the passion of Christ. And if we don't have this, we cannot survive as we face the oncoming hordes of evil forces we face today. We, the people of God, need more than just doctrine. It is inadequate in itself. We need the dynamic godly living before people can dismiss Christianity. Could I say they'll have to give an answer to the miracle of my life in Christ? Amen. And could I say it's only God that can change our life? I want you to notice with me again in our text verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 2, he said, "For I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." There's the message he's proclaiming. He's presenting Christ. And so he said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Understand, that was Paul's message. And by the way, that's to be our message. It's not a Baptist message. It's the scriptural message. It's the message of the Word of God. And so it was a despised message, and it is today. We have a Congress and a crowd in Washington that doesn't want anything to do with God. They've divorced God. Jerry Nadler said, "Well, the will of God has nothing to do with what Congress or the representatives do." I say to you, that poor man doesn't know his left hand from his right. I'm telling you, we are what we are by the grace of God, and this nation is what it is tonight because God has blessed America, and God's judgment is not future. It is already upon America. And we understand this. It's a despised message, but it's an effective message. When I got saved, I tried to win my brother to the Lord, and he said, "I won't ever get saved until I feel like I can live a Christian life." And I said to him, "Bud, if you wait until you think you can live a Christian life, you'll die and go to hell. For the Christian life is not you struggling and trying. No. The Christian life is you trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He lives His life through you." 10 years after I got saved, on a Christmas day, Dr. Buffington got a call from my brother. And my brother was at the end of his rope. And Dr. Buffington pointed him to the Lamb of God. And he got gloriously saved by the grace of God. But it wasn't by his trying, it was by his trusting the Lord. And so it comes this, the messages must be proclaimed. The message is, it's a fierce message, but it's an effective message. It's a powerful message. It's like dynamite. And so I find that our message must be the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, a scriptural message. That message that will get into the hearts of people if we stand in the power of God and in a transformed life and see what Paul faced as he went into that city. He saw the power of sin's pollution. Sin was in the saddle at Corinth. Prostitutes was associated with the heathen worship. And the very word, the very name Corinth was associated with the lowest vice and shame. Paul faced the evils of that city with the power of the gospel of Christ. I still believe God can save harlots. I believe God can save dope addicts. I believe God can save drunkards. and God can save the moral man. Could I remind us tonight that he presented the gospel of Christ, so must we. The gospel of Christ will meet the needs of this hour. Whether it's on the west side or the east side, whether it's in Ghana or in Amory, Mississippi, the gospel will meet the needs of men and women, boys and girls. And it's not some scholarly communication. Just tell him what Jesus Christ did for you. Amen. If you've been saved, you've got something to talk about. The fact of how God changed your life. Paul had to face the wisdom of the world that was in Corinth, and it was tied in with their sin. And could I say, the wisdom of the world, Paul declared that the gospel of Christ owes nothing to the system of this world. He says again that the salvation we enjoy owes nothing to the world. We enjoy it by the grace of our God. And then the formation and founding of the church owes nothing to the wisdom of this world. And the progress of the church, and it owes nothing to the wisdom of the world. And the preaching of the gospel owes nothing to the wisdom of this world. And then there's the possibility of persecution in preaching. In Acts chapter 18, verse 9 through 11, I'm not going to turn it to read. But Paul faced the strength of Corinth's sin. There was a price to pay to get a breeze from heaven. A price to pay. The people in the Corinthian church wanted to show what the mystery of Christ. Listen, I'm saying God used one man to reach others, and God will use you, and God will use me. And by the way, when you come back, you're not going to be gloating in the fact of how you dealt with it or how you presented it. No, it'll be all to the glory of God. You're just an instrument in his hands. And so the mystery is believed, chapter 2, verse 6 through 10. Paul, in these verses, speaks of the peculiar wisdom that is associated with the gospel of Christ. He said this: it's not the wisdom that is in the world. You don't get this wisdom by academics, and you don't get this wisdom by the scholastic training. Hear what Paul said in chapter 2 and verse number 6. He said this. He said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. He said, we're speaking the wisdom that God gives. Howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. This world has wisdom that is wonderful. But I want to tell you tonight, Paul said, it's not related to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in any respect. And then Paul had a wisdom that was different from the wisdom of the world. The wisdom Paul is mentioning here in verse number 7, notice he said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He's talking about this, the wisdom that Paul had. It's the wisdom of God. It came from the mind of God. It came from the heart of God. God, who is all wise, the wisdom, this wisdom has in it the way of salvation. This wisdom tells us a man can be saved, a man can be delivered, from the sins and be justified forever. I'm grateful to God for our standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The man who knows the gospel and preaches the gospel is not a fanatic. Notice me, verse 4. The Bible said, in my speech, in my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I see the might of that message. Paul's preaching was not a revelation of personal rhetoric. And we've got too many people that are presenting themselves. They're saying, look at me, look at me. No. It's not looking at you. It's looking at Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. He's the worthy one. The Holy Spirit is given for illumination of the Word. This was a promise of our Lord in John chapter 16 in verse number 13. He does what? He takes the things of Christ and reveals them to us. And so I see this. The Holy Spirit can give the servant of Christ a better understanding of some of the verses in the Bible than some commentators. I've read some passages, Brother Jacob, and I found out, didn't understand. I said, I want to see what he says, and I found out what he said, and I found out they didn't know any more than I did. But I tell you, in reading and praying, God the Holy Ghost said, son, if you want to know the truth, this is what it's all about. And God puts it together like a hand in a glove. And I bless his name for the way he works in us, that he might work through us. And by the way, he worked for us, but he has to work in us before he can work through us. And so he brings truth to our minds, for the memorization of the scriptures. We need that. Memory loves to be trusted. You can only remember what you learn. And so that's why it's important to fill your life with the Word of God. A good learner is a one who takes the truth of God into his heart. That's what Brother Roloff emphasized so much, the matter of the memorization of the scripture. Milford Biddle could quote a bushel before you could turn around. Brother Samuel and other men, great men of God, the Word of God that was hid in their heart, and it lives on today. Can I say this? The Holy Spirit is given for proclamation. In verse number 14, God does not depend on human wisdom. He does not depend upon pastoral ability. I'm saying this to present the saving message of the gospel to a poor, perishing world. He knows how weak a thing we are. Amen. How weak a thing we are. He knows exactly how weak a thing we are, and he knows how faltering we are in our ability. God knows that, and we're no match for the wisdom of this world. No match for the wickedness of sin. In order to meet a world of wisdom and wickedness, God plants the gospel message with a supernatural power in our heart. And he, the Holy Ghost, provides and produces a message. And then he propels it forth, conquering and to conquer. And so we must be at his disposal. I'm grateful for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm grateful for those who have blazed a trail before me, men that I've had high respect for, men that have touched my life, men that has influenced me for God. And the men who's had the greater influence upon my life has been men of one book, the King James Bible. Amen. And they preached it and they lived it. And they presented a gospel that changed lives. My grandson will be 20 years old in July. He's met a little girl whose father has been doing missionary work in Guatemala. And my grandson's made two trips to Guatemala on mission trips. He just got back in last Sunday night from his second trip. I was talking to him at a meal we was having together, and I said, Connor, what if God said to you, I want this to be more than just a mission trip. I want this to be your mission of getting the gospel to those in Guatemala. And he said, Papa, if God said that, I'd do it. And I said, blessed be the name of God. It's needed. The gospel is needed around the world. And so, join hands with the Apostle Paul. Yield to the Holy Spirit. And show by your life that you're determined to know nothing among save Jesus Christ and him crucified. God, let us pray. Father, bless our pastor as he comes to close this service. In Jesus' name.